right. What is up, everybody? Thanks so much for tuning in. This is another episode of For What It's Worth with Wes Hoffman. I'm Wes Hoffman. thank you. I really appreciate it. Yeah, we have been on a roll lately. We're just cranking out these episodes every week. I'm loving it. I'm having a great time. It does not feel like work at all. It feels super fun. I even say it on this episode that at one point during this conversation, it didn't feel like a podcast at all. It just felt like I was having a conversation with a friend. So this episode is with Christine Aturio from Little Low. This was a great episode. Little Low put out an album. I guess it's been out since May, and it's very good. It's very good. It's 8 songs. One of my favorite bands is the Get Up Kids, and they remind me a lot of the Get Up Kids. So it's very indie pop, punkish type stuff. So definitely check out the album. It's called Sunshine Guilt. It's on Sell the Heart Records, Thousand Island Records, and Waterslide Records. So you can get it in the U.S., Canada, or Japan. Yeah, and this was just an awesome episode. I really enjoyed it. Had a lot of fun. My band has a new episode. my band has a new song coming out soon on August 8th. It's called After Hours. It's going to be the first single off of our new record that's coming out soon. So please be on the lookout for that. I'm sure I'll be talking about it and sharing it whenever it gets closer to time. But it's like 2 weeks away, so definitely follow us on Spotify. Follow my band on Spotify. It's just, if you just look up Wes Hoffman, it'll come up. That's just what it's called on any of the streaming platforms. And yeah, I really hope you all enjoy it. If you do like this episode, if you like this podcast, if you're a repeat listener and you haven't done this yet, please give us a rating on your podcast app of choice, on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, whatever you listen to your podcasts on, or and follow us as well. So those are just little things that help kind of boost the podcast, boost the numbers, trigger the algorithm, whatever you want to call it. And if you really do like this podcast and you want to support monetarily, I would urge you to purchase one of our records on vinyl. You can just go to weshoffmanandfriends.bigcartel.com. If you do want to get a record and support us, that would be huge. So other than that, I just hope you guys enjoy this episode. This is with Christine Aturio from Little Low. Every corner of this earth. For what it's worth, Christine Aturio, did I pronounce it correctly?
Yep.
Yes. Okay, awesome. How are you from Little Low and Save Ends, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yep. Awesome. Yeah, how are you?
Doing good. Yeah, it's really nice out here, not humid for the first time in like 2 weeks, so really enjoying it.
Yeah, it's been, I'm in St. Louis, Missouri, and it has been ridiculous. It's like a sauna outside right now. It's like unbearable. It's like, that's the one thing I hate about the Midwest is it's like, it's in the summer, it gets super, super hot and humid. And then in the winter, it's super cold, you know?
Yeah. Very similar to here in Boston.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, spring and fall, it's usually like real nice, like hoodie weather, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so exactly.
Yeah. So, okay, before we really kind of get into it, I have two questions from Instagram that I want to share. Okay, hold on. I gotta get to this here real quick. And one is from Massive Nightmares.
Jesus Christ.
Which they're awesome. They're an awesome band, by the way.
Yes.
Trevor turned me on to them. What was your favorite Rotary song and why was it Young Guns?
Okay, yeah. So Rotary was my first band. That is from Doyle. He was the drummer. And yeah, Young Guns was a great song. But I think my favorite one was New Goofin'.
Oh, okay. Okay. Is this stuff on Spotify anywhere?
No, it's on Bandcamp. There's like a Rotary MA Bandcamp that has the like 11 songs we managed to record.
Okay. all right. Well, I got to find this other one here. Hold on real quick.
They messaged me directly. They didn't go through the actual like prompt on the thing. So it's just gonna take me a minute to find it. I know how I can find it. It was from NK Naomi. MK Naomi, do you know them by any chance?
Yes.
And they asked me, what are some of your front persons that inspire you, and you are such an inspiration to many of them in the Boston music scene?
Oh, that's so kind. I mean, honestly, like right now it's everybody in the Boston music scene that is doing music. And I mean, I would definitely start with bands like MK Naomi and Cape Crush and Megan from Work. I think that there is just a lot of talent coming out right now. And it's just always inspiring to see the bands around here playing, because it makes me just want to write better songs and keep being part of it.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. I have not played Boston before. We really want to get up there, though. So next year, we're friends with like One Fall and Oh the Humanity. Yeah. They're friends of ours. Gosh. Yeah.
Helen is incredible.
Yeah. Oh, Helen's awesome. So yeah, we've played with them a couple times, but we just stop at New York and we haven't gotten farther up there. But I think we're also friends with American Thrills. They're from Connecticut. Cool. Yeah. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. Maybe we'll just like start up there and work our way down next time. So yeah. But anyway,
it can be good.
Wait, say that one more time.
I said, give it a chance. It can be good.
Yeah. Oh no. I've been to Boston. We've just never played there before. So I definitely want to, I've heard good things. I definitely want to head up there. So, so you guys just put out a new album, Sunshine Guilt. The video actually came out today, right?
Yes.
I have not watched it yet. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm going to, as soon as we get off of here. So, tell me a little bit about, I listened to the album all the way through. I absolutely love it. It's great. Like you do have an amazing voice.
Thanks.
You have an amazing voice, and I really love the instrumentation too. You guys kind of remind me of and this is totally a compliment because this is one of my favorite bands. You guys kind of remind me of the Get Up Kids a little bit, like.
Perfect. My favorite band.
Okay.
Yeah. Truly, it's my favorite band, 100%.
Yeah, I absolutely love them. And they're from, you know, I'm from St. Louis, but they're from Kansas City area, which is like not too far from here. So, you know, I claim them as a Midwest band. Tell me a little bit about, I'd love to hear about like the process of recording and, you know, how does it feel to now have it finally be out? All that good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, so we started recording it like last May, I think, and then we went back in the summer and finished it up. We started with 5 songs, and then when we were talking to Andy about the music, he was like, why don't you record 3 more songs? And I was like, crap, okay. So you mean like write 3 more songs? Sure, no problem. We'll do that really quick. So I wrote 3 more songs and then we recorded them and then that became the album. I wrote Sunshine Guilt's the last song I wrote, and thank God I did it because it ended up being the album name, but I felt like it really encompassed like what I had written for the album, because so much of it was about that transition of being in California and coming back to Massachusetts after being gone for a couple of years.
Yeah. So I actually found out about you guys when you were in California, I think, and you had a whole different lineup, right?
Yeah.
What brought you back to the East Coast? Those are two polar opposites.
Yeah. Also, Mike, my partner and the drummer of Little Low, we moved out to California together, or I moved out there to be with him during COVID times.
Okay.
And so we started the band because I had been doing it solo for a bit and, you know, it was like, well, let's do this out here for now. But we moved out there because Mike used to own part of a weed delivery service that ended up going out of business because of taxes in California, just being so crazy on the weed industry. And so once that went out of business, you know, it was kind of like, okay, I'm ready to move home. I always said it would be temporary for me because Boston and New England is really my home. So, you know, that 2 years was awesome and I met some great people and I, you know, I feel like I have some new lifelong friends, which is really wonderful. But I was happy to come back and get back into the Boston music scene and like to feel like, even though I had been out of it for a bit, that like, you know, I was welcomed back in and there it's very active and yeah. Yeah. So yeah, moved back just for family and I guess like general life feeling correct here for me.
That's awesome. What part of California were you guys?
The Bay Area.
Okay. Awesome. So was that how you met Andy from Sell the Heart?
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. He's a great dude. He has actually been on a different podcast of mine like years ago, but nice. I finally got to meet him when my band played at Gilman.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Oh, it was so cool. It was like literally one of the best, like a bucket list thing.
Yes.
You hear about like CBGB in New York and I mean, it's gone now, but you hear about like CBGB and these places that have been around forever. And Gilman's like that on the West Coast. And I always was like, I'll never play there. And then like, when I found out we were going to, I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. So,
yep.
What'd you think of the Bay Area? Interesting question. Like, how do the Bay Area and like Boston music scenes, how do they compare?
So basically what I usually try to describe it as is like in California, it's obviously a lot more spread out and it's humongous. But there's like a lot more, I feel like there's a lot more all ages shows there because there's a lot more freedom to do what you want in different spaces. Like they are not as stringent as Boston can be. Like we have a really hard time keeping things like basement venues going. And then like the all ages venues are just few and far between. I think they just don't end up lasting very long. So, I mean, speaking of Gilman, basically like that is, you know, all ages venue that's somehow lasted as long as it has. And I think that's like the biggest thing is there's just a range of people at all of the shows in California. And like from like young to older. And in Boston, we have like a little bit more of like, you know, it's more of like a bar scene a lot of the time, but okay. We do have a new all ages venue up in Salem, which is awesome. But yeah, I feel like with Boston too, because all these like cities are nearby, like Salem and like Portsmouth, New Hampshire and stuff. All the bands kind of like blend into this like New England band scene, which is really cool. And it, so it has like a big mix of people coming from different states all the time too.
Yeah. That's cool. That's interesting. About the all ages thing, because, I feel like the same way here in St. Louis, like there's some people that like, you know, it, whether you drink or not, or how old you are, like some people, they, you know, I'm 42. Like, you know, it doesn't bother me. I'll go to a show where it's 21 and up, or if it's like all ages, like, and, but I do, you know, talking to some people, they're like, oh, well, I don't want to go somewhere where there's like a bunch of kids. And, you know, even if there's alcohol there. And then, you know, I've talked to other people where they're like, oh, well, I don't want to go like where it's just drinking, you know, all the time.
Yep.
And, you know, they don't want like, I don't know. It's just an interesting mix. And I found that with like touring too, is sometimes we'll try, you know, if we've never played, like Nashville was a perfect example. Like we had never played an all ages show in Nashville. And I was like, let's try an all ages show, like instead of 21 and up, you know, and it's a completely different crowd. And you kind of open up to, you know, more of, I don't know, it's just a different group of people that comes out, you know. Yes. What I mean? That maybe couldn't go to the 21 and up show. Like,
exactly. And I mean, a lot of times if it's like, there's some places where the scene is kind of built into the venue, it's like,
yeah,
kids go to it no matter what, like who's playing. And I think it's awesome because they're so excited to discover music and it's like new to them. And it just has it, you know, it always has a little bit of a different energy, when it's all ages. But I think that there's a lot of like people out there that need music, and it's so awesome to get to be able to expose the band to people of different age ranges.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I wanted to go to shows when there were shows that like, I'm like, oh man, it's 21 and up, and you couldn't go whenever you were younger. And it's like,
yeah,
you know, that's
the worst.
right. Those are the shows that like, you know, I don't want to keep people away necessarily. Yeah. So, but I do understand it. Like a lot of bars, they're like, well, we don't have, you know, we can't have underage people in here. Like, it, you know, we're not going to make money off of, like, you know, a bunch of kids who can't drink. So, you know, it makes sense. But, so tell me a little bit more. I'd be interested to hear, like, okay, so we know the Get Up Kids are like a big influence of yours. You know, what were some of your other influences when writing this record?
Oh gosh, from writing the record. I mean, I also very much love Hot Rod Circuit. That's always been one of my favorite top bands.
Yeah, me too.
And then I was revisiting some stuff that I liked when I was younger that, like, always inspired me to, like, want to be in a band. There's this band called The Forecast from, like...
Oh, yeah.
I loved them. Yeah, it was, like, early 2000s. Yeah, I think I just... When I learned to play guitar, I loved Nirvana. And I think... because that's how I learned to, like, play songs. That's how I learned to write songs. And it's always been that kind of, like, writing a pop song but with power chords. And I think that's why the Get Up Kids, like, naturally ended up becoming, like, my favorite, like, forever band now. And so I think I just end up writing with, like, all those little, you know, influences mixed in, but it just ends up, like, sounding, like, a little bit like the Get Up Kids.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think you guys have, and this is something I try to do in my music too, is I try to think of, like, dynamics, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and I feel like that's what really, you know, sets a band apart. And you guys are really good about that. And I feel like that's something that I learned from the Get Up Kids and those Hot Rod Circuit and those bands from that era of, like, okay, let's kind of, like, you know, let's hit it really hard and, like, you know, but then we can also, like, slow it down a little bit and we can build up. And, you know, if you just have, I mean, there are some bands that just go full throttle, balls to the wall, like, you know, every song. But I mean, to me, that kind of, that just my personal taste, that gets old after a while. Like, I want to hear you do something different. Okay, we get it. You can play loud. Like, you know, but even a band like All the Humanity or One Fall, like, as heavy as they are, like, they still can break it down and be quiet and be pretty. And, like, you know, I think that just shows the sign of a really good band. So,
I always liked albums like that kind of do the whole, like, breadth of it. Like, you know, I feel like in my head, I'm like, well, there has to be at least one slow song and there has to be at least one really fast song. And there has to be one, like, sing along song. Like, that's what I think makes a good album. And so I think I, like, make sure that I do that for each album.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I absolutely love that. We have our second album coming out soon. Well, the first song is going to be released in, like, 2 weeks.
Nice.
Yeah, which I'm really excited about. But our first album kind of had that, exactly what you were saying, like, a heavy-hitting song, like, sing-along song, some more, like, you know, get songs with guitar solos and stuff. And, like, on the next album, when I thought about that, I had the same mindset. I was like, okay, well, I want to have at least one fast punk beat song, you know, and then one that's kind of more quiet and meaningful and, like, you know, and then at the end, like, you know, I want to have something cool. Like, on this album and the one that we have out now, it's like a longer song at the end, you know, I always loved how bands would do that. Yeah. Like, you know, it just kind of, like, a little bit drawn out at the end. So did you guys record with Trevor Riley?
Yep.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. So he mixed our record. We didn't record with him, but yeah, he mixed ours. So I'd be interested. What was the experience like recording with him?
It was great. So we've all known Trevor in, like, different degrees for a while now. But I was really excited to work with him because Massive Nightmares had just wrapped up doing their first EP with him, and, you know, they were, like, so excited about it. And Al, their singer, was like, "Christine, when you work on vocals with Trevor," he was like, "he's going to do the stuff that you wished people always did with vocals." And I was like, okay. I didn't know what that meant. And then when it came time to do vocals, I was so amazed by the amount of, like, care and time that he puts into it and lets you put into it. He really tries to make sure that you're getting a good performance, which, I, you know, that's always the key, is, like, get the good performance. But he kind of was, like, coaching me, like, you know, like, be the character that is in the song. And I was like, what character in the song? And he was like, well, try to be like how you sing it to the crowd. And I was like, oh, that makes sense to me. Like, I realize, like, when I'm, you know, when you're performing, you're really, like, you're changing the way your mouth moves, your face, all these, like, you know, your body does things that, like, you don't realize. So once he said that to me, I kind of, like, adjusted my stance and, like, felt like then I was starting to get these, like, really good performances that I was not expecting from myself. So he just was, like, a great driving force behind, like, getting these vocals, I think, really strong and making me feel good about them, because, you know, that's never been, I've never felt like it's been my strong suit. And this is, in this band, I am singing alone for the first time ever. And so it's like a little bit more intimidating, but no, he made me feel like I really was like a performer and a good vocalist. So he's a great motivator.
Yeah. Oh, well, I can definitely tell you, you have an awesome voice. So, I've always felt that way too, though. Is I've always felt like, you know, I'm a pretty good, like, I feel like I'm a better songwriter than I am guitar player or singer. Like,
right. Yeah. Totally get that.
You know, but I kind of just always became the singer in my band by default, because I was the person that was like writing everything. So I'm like, okay, you know, it's kind of something like a whoa, you know, and I just would. You know, I was just always have been that frontman person. But I liked what you said about being the character, or kind of thinking about how you would sing it, like to the crowd, because, you know, I definitely had a moment like that recording the newest album that we're doing, where I was like, you know, you just really kind of get into it. And because it can feel so, recording vocals is really draining.
Oh, yeah. I was coming out of there every now and then, like, guys, I've really put myself through it in there. Like, I was like sweating, like my face was all red, but I, you know, that's what I needed to do.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It is like, I can definitely tell that you poured your heart into it. That definitely shines through, like, on the record. And there were some times where I was like, I've listened to it a few times through. Just, I listened to it when it first came out, but I've listened to it knowing that I was going to have you on and Mike next week. I'm like, okay, I really want to get to know this album. But you know, there's definitely times where it's like, it really hits and your voice is really just like, it hits. Oh, so, yeah. So, no, that's awesome. We really enjoyed working with Trevor as well. And like when, actually The Massive Nightmares was another reason why I wanted him to mix our record too, which we sound a little bit different than them. We're a little bit more skate punky, but, I really liked their record. And then when your guys' stuff was coming out around the same time, I think you maybe had dropped a single and I was like, I think I want to work with him on this. So, but yeah, it was super fun. He was like posting videos and of our songs and kind of like making fun of us, but in a fun way. And definitely smoking weed.
I love that. That's part of his process now.
Right. So, have you guys done much touring, lately, or are you getting ready? I saw you have some dates lined up.
Yeah. So, we put the album out in May, and I mean, everything is booking so far ahead right now. I think we started planning for this in like May. We're like, whoa, shoot, we should like, cause we already had like, we had our record release planned and then a Brooklyn show and Pooza Fest in May. So we're like, let's, you know, push out, you know, a tour a little bit further. So we landed on, the last weekend of July into the first, couple days of August. So this will be our first like 5-day thing. We did a weekend last year. We went up to Montreal, which was good. But I'm really looking forward to it. I feel like we just have a lot of fun together, and I just like going to other cities and drinking their coffee and their beers and eating their food and seeing their bands.
Yeah, absolutely. I know, I'm the same way. I love being on the road. I love like just seeing new places, meeting new people, like meeting the bands there, kind of seeing what the music scene is like in different places. And you know, like if you go to Chicago, you got to get some Chicago style pizza and a Chicago dog and everything like that. I saw you guys are playing at Ortlieb's.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you played there yet or been there before?
No, I have not.
Okay. Awesome. I think that'll be, we just played there for the, we've played Philly 3 times, but we just played Ortlieb's for the first time, and it's a lot of fun. It's awesome. A pretty small room, but it will, you were kind of talking about, how like certain clubs have like the scene built in, and
Yeah.
I really feel like Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
I feel like Philly has that, like, and Or Leaves is one of those places where, like, people pay attention to what shows are coming and people come out. And if you get 50 people in that room, it'll feel like, you know, a sold out crowd. So,
yeah, I'm really excited for that one. And, you know, I feel like Philly can be hard to book sometimes too. And maybe because we started so early and we're playing on a Wednesday, I was so pumped that we got Orts Leaves like sorted out pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be a cool show. I think people will still come out on a Wednesday for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And they have really good hot dogs there that they serve at Orts Leaves that they serve like late at night too. And I think they have a vegan hot dog too. So
if you're
vegan. So are you a big, I know you have a song called Dark Beer Archives. Are you a big beer drinker too? Or?
Yeah. Maybe a little too big of a beer drinker. that's like a lot of what the song is about. So when in Boston, we have a bar called O'Brien's, and it's in Allston actually, but that's like been my haunt forever. But there was a point in time where I was going out to O'Brien's like four nights a week, maybe.
Okay.
And drinking like four or five beers every time I went out. And yeah, so maybe just going at it a little too hard. And that's kind of what Dark Beer Archives is about, is just realizing, like, you know, you got to find a better balance in your life, and no one's going to fix any of the issues I was having. No one's going to fix them except myself. So that's what that song is about. But I still enjoy, I just really like, I like craft beers. Like, mm-hmm. I am 41 years old. I like craft beers. I don't care.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I went through a period of time where I like only drank dark beer. So that's what also that is about. And those will give you pretty bad stomach aches after a while.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Is the brewery scene in Boston pretty good? Is there a lot of like micro brews and stuff? Okay.
Definitely. We have one right around the corner from us called Widowmaker that we really like. They're local. And then Notch, which is in Salem, and there's one in Brighton down the street. We have a lot. It's too many.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. We have a lot in St. Louis, too. St. Louis is a huge beer. I mean, Anheuser-Busch is based out of here, so that, you know, but but it's like the craft, there's a huge craft beer scene here, too, just because of that. Like, a lot of the people that worked at either AB or like Schlafly was one of the bigger ones, like that, you know, those people that learn how to brew, they branch off and start their own thing. And
That's really cool.
Yeah, but I can kind of relate to what you're saying too about like finding that balance, because I had like I didn't drink for like 6 months because I kind of got to a similar point as you were, like I would just find we're going to a movie, I'll have a beer, I'm gonna go write some songs, exactly. I'll have a beer, and I really like IPAs. I know that's kind of like, I know it's kind of a meme now to like IPA, to be the guy that's like,
they're going out of style, but I still like them.
yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I always feel like such a dork when I'm like, do you guys have any IPAs? You know, because it's like that dude that has a fedora on, or, you know, just the classic hipster type thing. But, you know, I didn't stop. I stopped for like 6 months because I was like, I just need to take a step back. Like, I'm drinking like all, you know, just finding any excuse to do it. And I found that like, so that was like September of last year. So it's coming up on a year. But it helped me, like, just taking a break and not drinking for a little while helped me. Then when I came back to it, and because then I went on tour on tour, like the other guys are drinking at the end of the tour, I was like, okay, I'll have a drink, you know? I found that it was like way easier for me to say no. And it was easier for me to stop when I was like, started feeling like, I've had too much. Like, I'm just going to stop. Whereas before I would just be like, let's go, you know, like, let's keep going. Yep. You know, it's like,
absolutely.
It makes me, you know, it does, I won't lie. Like, it does, it makes me feel good. It makes me like forget. And just feel kind of like numb to everything, but that's not necessarily a good thing. Not always.
I mean, I realized like during COVID or during the like quarantine days, I was happy to realize that I was a social drinker. So when I was at my apartment alone, I was like, I don't really want to drink. And then I was like, oh, so I only want to drink when I'm out with people because it eases social anxiety. So
yeah.
I think that was like, that time was a great like way, like a great time for me to look at my habits and realize like, okay, this is what kind of drives my drinking and how do I try to limit it, you know, as things started to come back. And like, to your point, like how there's beer at the movie theaters now, like I finally convinced myself, like, no, you don't like that. You just get sleepy when you have a beer at the movies. Like, it's not worth it. You don't need one.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I'm the exact same way. It's like, it, you know, I always feel like I felt like for a while it was like adding to the experience and making it better, but sometimes it just makes it worse. And,
yep.
You know, as I get older, it messes with your sleep too much. And then, you know, but there are times where it's like, man, I just really think like, you know, the weather's nice or whatever, you know, and you're like, okay, now's the time. Like when I'm out with my girlfriend, we just went to a really nice, we just went to like the Red Lantern Festival here in St. Louis over the weekend. And we got like, we went to this, like, it's like a dive bar that serves Asian food, and they, it's a new place. And I was like, okay, I want to have an old fashioned, you know, but I just had one and then I was done, you know? So it's like, you know, and I'm trying to kind of practice that because I feel like, and maybe a lot of people, maybe, I don't know if a lot of people, but some of the people that are like, are our age that grew up, you know, like I grew up partying in my early 20s and that just kind of like extended into like into adulthood a little
100%.
Bit.
Yeah. Yep. Especially with doing band stuff, like it's fun. It's a fun aspect of it. Like it makes you feel like you're not controlled by your job, like your 9-to-5 or whatever, like that you can go do stuff. But yeah, eventually the sleep thing I think is what really like started to kind of make me have to like realize I need to cut back, because during COVID I started getting better sleep and I was like, that's weird. Why do I feel rested when I wake up? I don't get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, I see.
Oh, I slept when I quit, like for 6 months, I slept very, very well.
It's crazy. Yeah. It makes such a big difference.
And it's that's one thing about music too, like touring, like when we go on tour, like, you know, one of the first things that you get there and everybody's like, okay, here's your wristband, like you load in and they're like, here's your wristband and here's your drink tickets, and I'm kind of like, well, I wasn't going to drink tonight, but if they're free, then, you know.
Right. So, yep. Oh, boy, yeah. Trust me, I've already been having slight, like, anxiety about next week. I'm like, all right, you got 5 days. You can't blow it on the first night or the second night.
Yeah.
Or the third night. So I'm, like, prepping my brain.
Yeah, it's tough. And it's like, I used to lose my voice on tour.
Oh, yeah.
Like, after, like, the second show, my voice would just be shot. And I found that it was, like, like I was like, why am I losing my voice like every single tour? And I mean, even just like a 3-day tour on the last day, I would be like, you know.
Yep.
And it was because I like drinking too much and then not getting enough sleep.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I really had to just be careful. And like, we love to like stay up and watch. You know, usually after you play a show, you get back to wherever you're staying, and it's like, you can't just go to bed.
Right. Everyone's feeling good.
Yeah. And everybody, you got to wind down. And so like, you know, we would stay up and, you know, now I have to kind of be the old man and say like, hey guys, I'm really sorry. I have to go to bed. Like I have to get sleep or I'm not going to be worth anything tomorrow. So,
But this is like a pep talk for next week.
Okay. Good. I'm glad you're getting something out of it. So what was your, we've played Canada. We've never played Pooza Fest, but I would love to. So I'd love to hear what your experience was like there.
Yeah. Pooza Fest is awesome. Save Ends played it a few times back in the day. And so at a fest this past year, we saw Guillaume and I let Guillaume know that I had a new band and was able to get on Pooza this year. So it was super fun. We played the Fuffs like side room. So there's like the Fuffs is like the, you know, the main venue.
Yeah.
Then they have like a side room stage now. So it's kind of cool. You get some of the spill off from people leaving the big room.
Okay.
Which is awesome. But it was great. It was so well put together. It rained the whole time.
Oh.
The whole weekend. It was absolutely pouring. And like, I don't think that affected anything.
Oh,
like
that's awesome.
Everybody just was like having such a good time. The venues are all really close together, so it was easy to like bop around when you wanted to. So it was really great. Definitely had an awesome experience.
That's awesome. That's super cool. Yeah. I'm hopeful that you know, we've been putting in to play there and we've been putting in for Fest too. So yeah. Are you guys playing Fest this year?
Yes. We are.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. So, and you also sang on a No Trigger song.
I did. Yeah.
I didn't realize that until, because I had listened to the album and then I was like, I wonder who that is singing. And I saw that it says like Little Low.
Yep.
Which is an awesome, we played with No Trigger in Philly, like a little while ago. And,
awesome.
Yeah, they're awesome guys. I really only got to talk to Tom, but,
he's a talkative one.
Yeah. But no, they're great. I haven't seen them playing very many shows or anything lately, but well, some of the guys in your band are in No Trigger, right?
Yep. Yeah. Tom Cheslick, the guitarist, and Brad, the bass player, are in Little Low. But No Trigger, Tom just moved to Switzerland with his wife.
Oh, wow. Okay.
and they've been trying to move for a little bit. So I'm sure they'll eventually do something again. But
European tour, baby.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Cool. Well, Christine, this has been, it's great to meet you. At some point during this, when we were talking about drinking, I just forgot that we were even doing a podcast. So,
oh yeah, that was my pep talk for next week.
Yeah. Well, I hope the tour goes well. I love Sunshine Guilt. I'm going to listen to it. Again, I'm on my way to my studio tonight. And, yeah. And if everybody that's listening, please check it out. Give them a follow. Where can everybody find you online?
Our Little Low Band at Instagram, and then we're just on all the streaming services and littlelow.bandcamp.com.
Okay.
And sell the hearts Bandcamp to purchase the record.
Okay. Awesome. So you guys did it this one with Sell the Heart Records and yep. Thousand Island as well.
Yep, up in Canada.
Okay, and then was there one more?
Yes, Waterslide in Japan.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. How did that all come about?
I emailed Kazu because Save Ends had put out one of our albums with them, and I was like, hello, we have a new band. Would you like to be a part of this? And I was really happy that they wanted to hop on, so they took some of the copies of the record, and they're in Japan, which is freaking amazing.
That is so awesome. That's super cool. Have you
trying to be better about asking things?
Yeah. Don't ask, don't get.
Exactly.
That's what somebody told me one time. Have you guys played in Japan before?
No, I would love to.
Yeah, I would too. Yeah, I would too. Canada. What about UK or Europe at all?
Actually, I've never played the UK. Zayven's played in Europe and like Germany and Switzerland, but we didn't go to the UK. So
okay.
Maybe someday for a little low.
Yeah. I really want to tour Europe at some point. So yeah, we're trying to, we just signed with this label called Spam. And
oh, cool.
Yeah, and they're based out of Austria, so I'm hoping that they do a fest out there, and I'm hoping that if they put us on the fest, then we could kind of book a thing around that, so we'll see.
That's great.
I'm putting it out into the universe.
Yeah, that's what we have to do.
You do. Awesome. Christine, this is super cool. I hope I get to meet you in person someday. I'm thinking we probably will. We're going to cross paths. Yeah. So.
Yep, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Have a great night. And
thank you very much.
This will be up on Thursday.
Awesome. Perfect.
All right. See ya.
Bye.